Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Titus chapter number 1, I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word, I like this, through preaching. Amen. How did God manifest His word? Through the preaching of the word of God. Amen. He goes on to say this, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look in verse number 5. For this cause left thy I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now I just want to say this in passing. It's right for everything to be in order. Sometimes, and I don't mean this ugly, I'm being honest tonight, I don't, but sometimes churches are just a fly by the seat of their britches. Nothing is in order. And I'm glad that we have things in order at the house of God. And Paul is telling Titus, that's what you need to do. You need to place things in order down at the house of God. He says in verse number 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, I've had this question asked to me a lot for some reason in recent days, over the past month or two. Preacher, what is the qualifications of the preacher? One has said this. One has said this. One said that you can do this and still be a preacher, or you can have this and still be a preacher. Now, what is it? So here's what I want to do. I want to take the Word of God and show you what the preacher is supposed to be tonight. Now, I know that I'm going to deal, and everybody here ought to be saying amen, because I'm preaching about me tonight, all right? I just fussed at y'all for 5 minutes, and I'm going to fuss at me for 45 minutes or an hour. But now, I probably won't preach that long. I'm too tired. But there is a practical application that can be made to every person sitting in here tonight. Amen? And I believe that these areas should be in every person's life also, but it is required of the preacher. Father, I love you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, God. We'll be careful to give you the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, according to the Word of God, and I'm not going into another passage of Scripture to read all of it to you, but as the pastor, I'm supposed to be apt to teach. In other words, I'm supposed to be able to give you the whole counsel of the Word of God. So that's what I want to do tonight. I'm going to talk to you a little bit differently. I'm not just going to rear back and spit and holler and jump up and down tonight. But I do want to look at this because you should know what the preacher's supposed to be. What is his qualifications tonight? Now, I said this in the beginning, and I want to say it again tonight. The Word of God is our only authority, and it is our final authority. The Word of God is plain and simple when it comes to this matter of the man of God and his qualifications to being a preacher. Now, I want to say this, and then I'm going to jump into this, and I'll not get done with it tonight because I really want to look at the beginning of this, some things that said before we even get to verse number 6. But I want to say something to you. God's call is without repentance, and we read that in the Word of God. I'll always be called of God to preach. God put a call on my life in July of 1996, July the 24th, 1996. He put a call on my life before then, but that's when I surrendered to preach the gospel. However, there can come a time that I disqualify myself from the ministry. That call may still be on my life, but because of the life that I have lived and the choices that I have made, I can disqualify myself from being a preacher. And if my sending church, my ordaining church, does what they should do, they would come to me and they would ask me for my ordination papers and for my licensing to preach. Now, I'll say this to you, that don't happen as much as it should. I sure am thankful that we've never had to do that here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, but since I've been here, you know this, any preacher that we ordained and licensed in our church had to verbally agree in front of our church in their ordination that if they ever wavered from sound doctrine or a King James Bible or disqualified themselves according to the Word of God, then they would give their license and ordination back, and they signed a piece of paper in front of us and God as the witness that they would do that. You say, why? Because they're still an accountability to a local church. God, amen goes right there. God set the local church up, and I'm a firm believer in the local church. You say, well, I like house church. Well, I just can't find that in the Word of God. Amen. And the local church is what it goes through. Now, there is some that have disqualified themselves from the ministry. However, they continue in the ministry. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand how they could have disqualified themselves, how they could be doing this, and this, and they still preach and people still say they get saved. It's not the preacher that saves the people. He said this, the Word of God would not return void. Now, I'll tell you something. It's the work of the Holy Ghost that saves the sinner. Amen goes right there. That's what it is. Now, let's look at some things. I can talk to you all night. Let me get to my notes, or I will preach 45 minutes or an hour. It's 6:37. Watch this. Look what the Bible said in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God. Now, if you want to study, I understand the canon of the Bible, and the canon of the Bible is this, the way the Bible is laid out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you understand what I'm saying. When we come to the New Testament, there's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and on it goes. That is the canon of it. Now, if you want to study it in the order it was written, we would read Job first. Job's the oldest book in our Bible, and one of the reasons we know that is because there's no law mentioned in 42 chapters. Now, if you wanted to read this in the order it was written, you would read 1 Timothy, Titus, and then 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy was written after Titus, but it would kindly be odd to have 1 Timothy, Titus, 2 Timothy. Are you with me? Now, note what the writer, Paul, is writing to Timothy, and note what he says. He says, Paul, the servant of God. The servant of God. That word servant means this. It means slave. It is the Greek word doulos, which is the most objected servant term used by the Greeks for a slave. Listen to this. The word design one who was born as a slave, one who was bound to his mastering cords so strong that only death could break them, one who served his master to the degree of his own interest, and one whose will was swallowed up in the will of the master. So when Paul says the servant, he's saying this: my will is swallowed up in the will of the master. I'm so bound to the will of the master that the only way you'll separate me from his will is by death. Paul is saying this: the only thing that I'm interested in doing is the will of God. Now, I think about this. Paul was a servant before he was an apostle. Note what he says in verse number one: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to take time to go into the meaning of that word apostle, but watch this. First and foremost, Paul was a servant. He says, number one, I'm a servant. You know, we've got a lot of people today that wants to be everything else but a servant. We got a lot of preachers today that wants to fill a pulpit. Now, this is where you can holler, amen, because Cody's the only preachers in here tonight, and I know he's not like this, but stay with me. We got a lot of guys today that all they want to do is fill a pulpit. You can't count on them to do nothing else. All they want to do is the fame and the glory of it. But Paul says this, first of all, Titus, you need to understand, as a young man and as a preacher, you need to be a servant, man. Amen. You need to be a servant. Paul characterizes his calling to the ministry in a threefold way. Watch this. First, according to faith. He says, according to the faith of God's elect. Paul's ministry is in support of the gospel. It is not a ministry of false teachers who oppose the gospel of grace. Paul said the ministry is according to faith. Second, he acknowledges the according to faith. Second, acknowledging of the truth. He said this: the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Paul's ministry is in agreement with that which is after godliness. That is after godliness. Any message that does not promote godliness is not a valid message tonight. He said, listen to me, he acknowledging the truth, he says it's a truth that's after godliness. Now, I just want to say this to you tonight, and I'm going to move quickly because I got a long ways to go before we get done. I'm going to tell you something today. There's one thing, and I'll say more about it here in just a few minutes. But that's one thing that's missing in preachers today, and that's godliness. That's godliness today. They can stand up, they can read a Bible, they can give you an exhortation out of the Word of God, but boy, when you get them away from the pulpit, I'll tell you something, my life should not vary outside of this church as what it is inside this church. I'm telling you, man, I've had some guys in our pulpit that I thought was godly men that'll never be in our pulpit again. And when I got them outside the church, I was absolutely embarrassed by the things that they said and the way that they acted. I'm telling you today, the preacher ought to be a godly man. Third, when he's talking about his ministry, there's the assurance of eternal life. In a hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Paul is an apostle of assurance. His calling corresponds to the gospel message of promise. Now, think about this. Some things that Paul's message was. He begins in verse number two, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. He is giving us his message. Think about this. First, the source of the message, which God that cannot lie. Paul says this, the source of my message is God. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. As a Sunday school teacher, a preacher that's here tonight, if you're leading any kind of devotion, I want you to hear me tonight. The source of our message ought to be God tonight. Hey, there's nothing wrong with books. I enjoy reading. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. But the source of it has to be God tonight. If a preacher gets up and his source is not God, then get up and walk out. Amen. The source of his message, watch this, the stating of the message. He said, promise before the world began. The promise of the gospel were made before the world was created. Calvary was not an afterthought to God. It was not an accident to God. It was all stated before the world. Think about this. The showing of the message. He said it was manifested. The gospel message was revealed to mankind by God. It was not a thought of man. It was manifested by God. There's the schedule of the message. Watch this. In due time, God manifested the gospel according to his schedule. It was fulfilled as he planned it. This timing of the gospel is spoken of elsewhere. Listen to what he said in Romans 5, 6. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Galatians 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son to redeem. God's schedule was on time. In due time, he gave it to us. There's the speaking of the message. What's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel tonight. There's the speaking of the message. Listen to this. Manifested his word through preaching. Did you hear what I just said? Through preaching. That word means to herald is what it means. And I'm going to tell you what we need today. We need preaching. Are you here? We need preaching. We need preaching. My dad was preaching somewhere not long ago, and I called him afterwards, and I said, how'd it go? They sung an air. I said, well, I know what happened after that. He said, you're right. I preached an air. Let me just tell you something. If they sang an air, we ought to preach an hour and a half. There's no... I'm going to tell you, if you dial me right here, we will be here an hour. There is no substitute for the preaching of God's Word. I love singing. I thank the Lord for singing. There's nothing wrong with singing in its place. But I'm going to tell you right now, singing has never done for me what a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled preacher has done. It's the preaching of God's Word that we need in this day. And the speaking of the message, hey, he's telling Titus, you go over there and put the house of God in order. And here's what they need. They need preaching. They need preaching. I've said this before. I like loud preaching. Somebody say amen. I like quiet preaching. I like preachers that spit and slobber and jump up and down. I like preachers that never move from behind the pulpit. If they full of the Holy Ghost, I'll know it and I'll like it. Are you with me? So watch this. There's the speaking of this is the message that Paul's given. There's the steward of the message, which is committed unto me according to the command of God our Savior. Paul's calling was according to God, and it included the gospel. The pastor is not only the leader of his church, listen to this, but he is also to be a godly man in his home. His character ought to be right all the way around. Now everybody say amen, because I'm preaching to me, and it's okay. You're not going to offend me, okay? I'm not going to get mad and not come back. Ain't nobody say amen right there, because they done got mad and ain't come back Wednesday night. But watch this. His character is to be right. And Paul is telling Timothy, here's some things that has to be in place for the man of God. I read this. The man of God must not just have sound doctrine, but also a sound disposition. There is some men today that calls themselves preachers. Is everybody awake? And they have sound doctrine when it comes to the gospel. They will give you a clear presentation of the gospel. They have a King James Bible in their hand. They may even wear a suit and a tie. But I'm going to tell you something. Their disposition is different outside the church. And I'm just going to tell you, well, let me just go on. It can be said that more damage is done within the pastoral ministry concerning one's disposition than one's doctrine. Attitude speaks louder than one's actions or ability. And I'm going to tell you tonight, church, the preacher is to be right. The preacher is to be right. Now, I'm preaching about the preacher, so you ought to be saying amen and helping me. He's to be right. He's to walk right. He's to talk right. He's to live right. He's not perfect, but he ought to strive to live a holy and a godly life. Amen. Think about this. I want to give you three things right here in verse number 5, 6, and 7. And he tells, and I'm really going to jump over 4 and 5. He tells Titus, he said, "You're like a son to me." And I like the way that Paul done things. Paul set it up, and he had somebody to step in the place to keep the church going. And I want to say this to you tonight. It's not God's will for churches to go months and months and months and months and months without a pastor. That's not the will of God. It's the will of God for a pastor to pastor a church. It's not the will of God for a deacon to run a church, or a pulpit committee to run a church, or a financial committee to run the church. It's God's will for the pastor to run the church. You say, well, who's the pastor giving account to? Well, number one, he gives an account to God. Amen. Number two, if he is off sound doctrinally, there is nothing wrong with, in the right manner, asking him to help you understand what he said. There is something wrong with you going to him, pointing your finger in his face, and going, "You're wrong." You better be real careful with that. Are you with me? Now, let's look at this tonight. Number one, I want you to see a couple things. There's simple purity concerning his lifestyle. Preacher, what is the preacher supposed to be? There ought to be a purity concerning his lifestyle. He should be holy. Can I say that again? The man of God should be holy. I thought about this. The man of God has certain expectations in his character and his day-to-day mannerism and operations. It is expected that he will be verbally attacked and assaulted from those that despise his walk and words. In these manners, he must live so that the accusations and the attacks are not validated by the life in which he lives. Now, note what he says. He says, look with me, in verse number 6, "If any man be blameless..." Look with me in verse number 7. "For a bishop must be blameless." That does not mean that he is perfect. They wouldn't but one. That does not mean that he's not going to hurt your feelings every once in a while. That does not mean that you're not going to disagree with him every once in a while. Are you hearing me? What that means is this, that the man of God, and I'm going to give you a couple other things right here, but that the man of God ought to live his life in a way where someone couldn't falsely accuse him of being contrary to the Word of God and holiness, and if you was put on trial, be found guilty for it. In other words, the preacher is to live his life in as holy of a manner as he can live it. Think about this. Blameless due to freedom from guilt. He is to shun the bad. The pastor is to live a life that avoids foolishness and one that does not allow accusations to stick. The pastor will shun those areas that could taint his reputation and devalue his message and ministry. They value his message and ministry. I want to say something to you. Nobody's perfect. So there's always going to be something that you may not agree with. But when it comes to sound doctrine, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to living his life blameless. In other words, he's just not out here in the community walking around telling dirty jokes, questioning whether drinking is right or wrong. He's not using foul language. Can I just say something? Cussing is never in order. Well, you know, preacher, it's just the way I've always talked. Well, you know what? This is what I read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Everybody all right tonight? That I'm telling you something, man. I've been around some guys that called themselves preachers, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I just assumed to listen to a bunch of drunks talk. Here's the reason why. I expect it out of them. I'm telling you, that preacher is the shun. That don't mean that we can't tell them about God. But I ought not be sitting on a bar stool. To a preacher, you got to go to them to win them. Going to them and associating with them is two different things. Somebody help me tonight. Matter of fact, this is good preaching for everybody to practice. Did I mention that? He's to shun the bad. Watch this. Blameless due to freedom from guilt, but blameless due to focus upon godliness. He's not only to shun the bad, he's to seek the godly. In avoiding the bad, he must seek to follow what is right and good. In doing this, he will silence the critics and those that onset against him. And I want to say this to you tonight. The preacher ought to make you closer to God instead of further away from God. When you're around the man of God, hear me and hear me well, they should, number one, be a respect for him because of who he is. But number two, there ought to also be a respect because of the life that he's living. And you know the things that you say and do is not welcome in front of him because he is truly the man of God. He's to be blameless, simple purity concerning his lifestyle. I just want to chase this rabbit. I'm going to shoot him real quick. Oh, man, it's 6:56. I'm still going to chase him. But I'm going to tell you something, that purity in his lifestyle ought to not only go to him, it ought to go to his wife. I am just so bothered. I'm just going to be real. I'm just so bothered by the way you see some preachers and their wives and the way that there's just no holiness anymore. There's just no holiness anymore. Man, I seen some things and look, I'm giving you fair notice. If you want to contact me, don't use social media from tonight forward. You've got my phone number. If you contact me on social media, I'm not going to be contacting you back. I'm sick of it. I'm just already here, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm sick of seeing preachers' wives that's supposed to be holding a standard and live a godly life that looks no different than a harlot walking down the street. Looks like they're melted in their clothes. That preacher is to be blameless. And you know what helps with that? It's a godly wife. I thank God that I don't have to worry about that. I thank God that when I sit down on the platform on Sunday morning and Sunday night, I don't have to look where my wife's standing in the choir and think, my Lord, where did she get ready at today? I'm just being honest with you. Hey, you want to know what the qualifications of a preacher is? That he lives a holy life, man. If he's going to be blameless, he's got to live holy. His family's got to live holy. Well, number one, there's simple purity concerning his lifestyle. Again, I'm preaching to the preacher, but everything that I'm preaching about, it applies to everybody. And while I'm there, can I just say this? If you're going to go in the choir, man, ladies, look like a lady. That man, this, hey, look, if you're going to be in the choir, men look like a man, and I'm glad they do. Thank God none of them looks like a tackle box that's blowed up in their face. Are you with me? They don't have a skirt up. They wouldn't get in the choir. I can just tell you that. You say, would you stop them? Brother D.C., try it and see. Don't nobody have a mental picture the rest of your night of D.C. up here singing in a skirt and a little sleeveless top. Come back. Man, they ought to look right. Are you with me? Or look right. Well, number one, I said there's simple purity concerning his lifestyle. But then here's, I preached all night to get here. There is a singular partner concerning his love. There's a singular partner concerning his love. In this, we find the most quoted of all stipulations for being a pastor, and probably the one that is the most controversial. Here's what he said, the husband of one wife. And you know what that means? Exactly what it says. That means, well, preacher, that means one at a time. Is that what it said? I'm just being honest with you. You said, preacher, do you believe in a double married preacher? I believe that a man can be called of God and be a preacher and divorce and get married again, but at that moment, he disqualifies himself from the ministry. There, you said, preacher, I don't agree with that. You don't agree with the Bible. You don't agree with the Bible. One says this. Well, the Bible talks about putting someone away because of adultery. But listen, the Bible's not contradicting itself. But listen to what the Bible also says. For this cause shall a man leave. This is Mark. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And the twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. God, yeah, man, God put that marriage together. You took a vow in front of God and the witnesses. You said, preacher, I've been double. I'm not against you. I love you. There is a place you can serve God. Thank God for people that knows that God can still use them. But this is an area that you cannot be used in according to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And I don't say this to you tonight. God said what he means and means what he says. You say, well, preacher, you hold a double standard because of Josh Jenkins. You didn't pull his license. Josh Jenkins was faithful to his wife until death done them part. And she died. She's at home in heaven today. He fulfilled her vow to her. He fulfilled his vow to her. Amen. And now he is married to a wife that fulfilled her vow to her husband because he died also. Amen. I want to show this to you, singular partner concerning his love. In his focus, he needs to protect his marriage. Now, what I'm going to say to you again, this is good practical preaching for everybody sitting in here tonight. You better protect your marriage. If there's one thing the devil's after tonight, he's after the home. And I'm going to tell you something. If he can get the home, he can get the church. He wants to destroy you. I read the other day where people was in a nursing home signing their divorce papers. In a nursing home. Hey, look here, Hoss. If I make it to that point, I'm just going to ride her out. Are you with me? I'm going to stay with it. I'm not divorcing in a nursing home. Man, it's sad. It is so sad, the condition of our homes today. I sat and talked to brother, what's your name? Jacob. And Cassie the other night. And as we talked about them getting married and went over things for their wedding, I looked at them and I said this, there is no plan B to this thing. Hear what I just said, there is no plan B. You say, preacher, I messed up before. Hear me and hear me well, you may have messed up, but there should be no plan B to where you're at right now. There is no plan B. You say, do you and Miss Leslie ever have arguments? Yes, sir. Do you ever disagree? Absolutely. You say, how do you get over it? I say, I was wrong. I mean, it's simple. Are you with me? She's ever going, he never says he's wrong. See, we'll be in an argument when we get home tonight. Somebody fix me some eggs tonight, okay? But watch this. You need to guard your home. He's to be the husband of one wife, so he's to be singular partner concerning his love. And in his focus, he needs to protect his marriage. The man of God must protect his marriage. If he cannot protect and care for his marriage, how can he protect and care for the church? Are you with me? Are you with me tonight? Nothing in the ministry is more important than my wife, my children, and my marriage. Nothing in the ministry is. I thought about this. I want to care, and I try my best to care for families within the church. But listen to me. I'm foolish to do that at the expense of my family. I'm foolish to do that at the expense of my family. There is sometimes when people says, hey, preacher, can I meet with you this evening? And I go, no, I'm sorry. I've got something on my calendar. Let me tell you what it is. It's called family. It's called family. And well, I'm gonna get in trouble right here, but it's all right. You can work your schedule to meet with anybody else. If going to the doctor, you have to take off work, you can work your schedule to that. Why does the preacher always have to take his evening when he needs to be spending it with his family? Said, preacher, I wanted to talk to you the other day, and you said I had this time and this time and this time, and you give me a 1 hour block of that time. I'll tell you the reason why. I've come to the point where I understand if I don't have a marriage, I don't have a ministry. And you know what? Sometimes people truly has a need, but if you really get down to where the nitty-gritty is, you can talk about a lot of things in an hour. You say, preacher, you're supposed to give your life for me. Hear me and hear me well. I'll help you all I can, but my main focus is number one, God, number two, Leslie, number three, my children. And focus to protect his marriage. Watch this. In his full faithfulness, he's to purify his mind. He's to be the husband of one wife. How does he do that? He protects his marriage, but he purifies his mind. And I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. If you don't hear nothing else I say tonight, I want you to hear this and write it down. Wandering minds create wounded ministries. Wandering minds create wounded ministries. You better purify your mind every day. One of the best things that's happened in a long time is the devices that we use today. But one of the worst things that's happened in many, many years is the devices that we use today. Matter of fact, I don't think the good outweighs the bad. Because everything, are you hearing me? Everything is right there. Everything, your mind can go anywhere it wants to go at the push of a button. Can see, you said, preacher, I thought you were talking about the preacher. This is practical to all of us. You can see anything you want to see at the push of a button. You can see it. There's been so many men and so many women that got to looking at something they had no business looking at, and they found themselves, I won't be polite because the kids are in here, but they found themselves watching a Hollywood style of what they think a relationship between a man and a woman that God ordained to happen inside of marriage is supposed to be, and it ruined their marriage because they thought that's the way it was supposed to be in their bedroom. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You better purify your mind. If you can't control your device, the best thing you can do is chunk it and get you a flip phone. As far as that goes, don't even get a flip phone. Get you a pager if they still got one. We made it way before these things ever come along. And I'm going to tell you something. If we are going to save our homes, if we are going to save our marriages, the mind must be purified. It's often the ones that suppose they are too strong to fall are the ones that fall the hardest. Why? Because their minds are not purified. Well, number one, let me get done. Simple purity concerning his lifestyle. A singular partner concerning his love is love. Successful parenting concerning his lineage. There's to be, the preacher is to have successful parenting concerning his lineage. You know what the Bible said? If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly. One day, my kids will move out. I think. One day, I believe that the Lord will send them a good godly man, and they'll get married, and they'll move out. And I don't know, they may move out before they get married. They don't have to unless they're not living according to my rules. The day comes that they can't live according to what I lay down as the rules inside my home, then it'll be the day for them to move somewhere else. Amen goes right there. Amen and amen again. Now, watch this. When that day comes, there's nothing I can do about what that kid does. Madeline is not even at church tonight. Oh, there she is. I started to say, I'm packing her bags when I get home. Madeline's fixing to turn 21. She's fixing to graduate nursing school. She's already got a position at Baptist and a PRM position at Northern. And Brother Brian will be making way more money than I'll probably ever make in my life. Her starting out. Are you with me? And she's at a place with what she'll be making, Brother Jim, if she chose to move out and live on her own, she could do that. She could do that just fine. And if she'd done that, she wasn't faithful to church, well, the first thing, she wouldn't be teaching anymore. Because if you're going to be teaching, if you're going to hold positions in church, there's a spider web right there, you're going to be faithful. Somebody say amen right there. Number one, she wouldn't be teaching anymore. But if she become unfaithful to church and started living a lifestyle completely contrary to the Word of God, there's nothing I can do about that. She is an adult and she's out of my house. So when it comes to this, it's not holding the pastor to a level when his children is gone. He is dealing with when his children is at home. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. There's some today that they need to get their children in order. Are you with me? That preacher, and there's more than preachers need to get their children in order sometimes, but that preacher's children is to... Let me tell you the reason Olivia goes home as soon as service is over. Because she's so rebellious and knows she'll be running around in here and get in trouble. No, I'm just picking. I think. That preacher is to have his children in order. If a preacher cannot control his children, how can a preacher, if he can't lead his children... Now everybody won't be hollering, amen, I'm the pastor here, okay? If he can't lead his children right, how can he lead the church? Here's what he needs to have. He needs to have children that believe, confess, and trust in the heart that God is who he said he is. He needs to have children that behave. He needs to have children that behaves. Now, here's something that's so interesting. The very first verse, as Paul is telling Titus what that preacher is to be, setting that church in order, here's what he deals with. He deals with his character in the community, how he should live right, and others should respect him. He deals with his character in his marriage. He deals with him being the husband of one wife. One has said this: should a pastor if he's not married? He said to be the husband of one wife, didn't he? Just read you the Bible. Don't throw rocks at me and tomatoes at me. I'm married, okay? I would just say this: I couldn't pastor without my wife. Let me tell you the reason why. Some of y'all females out there crazy every once in a while. I'm telling Nicole's working tonight. Some of you females out there crazy every once in a while. And Brother Brian, they ain't a chance in this world that I'd try to talk to them without my wife. And matter of fact, just about it anymore, I don't even talk to them with my wife. I just let her take care of it. The other day she said, "Why am I always one?" I said, "Well, the men ain't giving me no trouble, baby." He deals with his home. He deals with the community. He deals with his home. And he deals with his children. So what is the qualifications of the preacher? Well, that's three of them. All right? You come back next Sunday night and we'll keep looking into this. And we'll go right down through Titus and we'll lay this out. Miss Tanya's coming to play. I said this earlier and I'm going to say it again. The Bible is our only authority and our final authority. And what it says is right. Now, I know that I've dealt with a preacher tonight. I know that. But you know what? Everything that I said is an application to every one of us sitting here. Hey, you know, we ought to live right or live holy. And I'm not saying that the lady has to let her hair grow out to her ankles and can never put no war paint on. Thank God for makeup. thank God for makeup. Brother Brian, say amen. Brother Josh, thank God for makeup. Amen. Brother Gray, it's good to be saved, ain't it, son? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, Miss Caitlin, we got to look like the Amish all the time. That's an inside joke. You just had to be there. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, or look modest. If it's not for sale, you ought not advertise it. I just say it that way. I'm trying to be polite. If it's not for sale, you ought not advertise it. And a lady ought to look like a lady. Man ought to look like a man. Everything that I preach tonight is practical for all of us. As parents, we should strive to lead our children in the right manner. You say, "Preacher, you know, preacher, if I put too many rules and regulations there, my kids are just going to go crazy. It's going to ruin them." I guess I'm ruined. I guess Rebecca's ruined. But I guess the last time I looked and the last time I checked, both of us has never been in any serious trouble with the law. We're in the ministry today. We're serving God. We're saved by the grace of God. And I'm not saying we're better than anybody else. I'm just saying the way mom and daddy did it worked. I know a lot of y'all didn't know Brother J.K., but the way he did it worked. It worked. Look at us today. Look at the majority of my generation up. And then you look at 21 years old and down. My generation wasn't laying in the street because it didn't like what was said. My generation wasn't busting windows out and stealing. I know some of them did, but you understand what I'm saying. For the majority, my generation, your generation, Brother Jim's generation, Brother Robert's generation, Brother Gray's generation, this generation up is what's holding what's left of our country together. And what happened is this. Now, I preached to me for an hour, I'm going to preach to y'all for an hour. What happened is this. We quit keeping score. We took three strikes and you're out. I'm running well. We give everybody a trophy. And now, when everything don't just go their way, they go to the psychiatrist. And if they're a little hyper into something, they slap medication all over them. I didn't need Ritalin. My daddy had a belt. I'm just being honest. We want to medicate everything. See, I thought you was preaching to the preacher. I'm done on that. Now I'm just preaching. I'm preaching right. If we train our kids right, watch the order. He says this. He deals with his personal character, blameless. He deals with his character in the home. You and your wife's got to be right with each other. Then he deals with the children. The problem with the children, a lot of times, it goes right back up the ladder. There's a problem in the home. And there's a problem with the man being the man of the home. Well, we better pray tonight. There's an application through all of this that can be made to us. Right there begins dealing the first three things. He deals with blameless, husband of one wife, and his children.